You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Locked On Balls. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Balls, is where you can find this podcast 3 days a week for the months of June and July. This episode, again, a reminder to check out Locked On NFL draft host Trevor Sekema and Benjamin Solak for recaps and analysis of the 2021 NFL draft and a look ahead at next year's future first-round picks. When we're done here, go give that a listen. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Kind of shuffling up the schedule here for this week and next week. I know it was a little bit of a late audible at the line of scrimmage. I was absolutely swamped covering recruiting events on campus on Sunday, and I just wasn't going to have the time that I needed Sunday night to prep for a Monday morning show on The Sports Animal and get everything ready to go for this podcast. So I do apologize. I know some of you guys probably woke up on Monday morning trying to find this podcast and couldn't, so I do apologize. But this week's episodes, of course, today on Tuesday. We'll have one tomorrow on Wednesday and then one on Friday. Next week, because July 4th is Sunday, I will be out and about. It's kind of the same situation. We will have no episode on the 5th on Monday, but we'll be back Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. So for the next 2 weeks, episodes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Locked On Vols. Got a whole lot to get into here today. I mentioned last week that we're going to try to bring back a version of Twitter Tuesday. Might indulge with it in Fan Friday. But hey, since we're doing an episode here on Twitter Tuesday, I put the feeler out and got a couple of questions. We will do Twitter Tuesday here in segment number one. In segment number two, some baseball conversations. Tony Vitello on Sports Talk on The Sports Animal Monday says that a verbal agreement has been agreed upon in terms of a contract extension. We'll play that audio for you, what exactly that means, and when an announcement could be coming for a contract extension for Tennessee's baseball coach. Also, had the chance to catch up with Ross Kivett, the Tennessee assistant that was ejected from that game against Texas in the College World Series. He has now gone to Houston to be a paid assistant, but had a chance to ask him about the ejection. I'll play that audio for you in segment number two. And then speaking of the baseball front, but more or less this is a general sports conversation because of the world we live in. You guys all saw what happened to NC State at the College World Series. I want to touch on that because we think we're out of the woods here with COVID, but in the grand scheme of things, it's still very much a part of the sports world. How could this affect a football season in a few months? We will chat about that in segment number three. All that and more here on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. We will head to the Twitter machine and go to the DMs. Brandon Head checks in. He's got a couple of questions on the defense. Number one, how is your feeling of security around UT's defense increased with the reinstatement of Aaron Willis and Aaron Beasley? I think our defense will be better than expected. Tyler Barron, Roman Harrison should have really solid years. Also, I'm stoked to see what Terry will do in the middle on the defensive line. Brandon, I'm there too, man. I think Terry's going to be an outstanding addition. He'll contribute this year, no doubt, but I think he has a chance to be a real solid, solid contributor in terms of making some plays down the road. Obviously, Rodney Garner believes so. That's why he brought him in. Aaron Willis, I've been high on Aaron Willis since Jeremy Pruitt signed him back in December. Obviously, behind the eight ball, missed all the spring, did not go through spring workouts. He's been with the team since June working out. We'll have to see. Tennessee, obviously, very thin at linebacker. I think Aaron Willis has a lot of ability, so we'll have to see exactly where he can fit in terms of being a reserve inside linebacker with some of those other guys in there, like Juwan Mitchell, of course, Jeremy Banks, and Roman Harrison's a name as well. Morvin Joseph's a name that practiced there, as well as on the edge during spring practice. But Aaron Beasley, another name that you brought up there. He's a veteran of this team. He's coming into his, junior season, and has always been a reserve linebacker since his freshman year. He got moved around a little bit, but was kicked off the team there for a little bit, suspended indefinitely because of allegations for animal cruelty charges earlier in the spring. Well, those charges have been dropped. Aaron Beasley is back on the team. I think Aaron Beasley is a fine teammate, a fine player. Primarily, he's been a special teams guy. In terms of being a contributor at linebacker, I don't know. I think right now, I think my opinion of him is he is a career backup. But again, it's always good to have a veteran guy that's been there, done that in the room. And certainly he was the leader of that room during spring before his dismissal. So in terms of football and having bodies back on the team, it's good to see Aaron Beasley back. And regardless of the situation that surrounded him. Of course, innocent until proven guilty in the court of law here in the United States. But man, that was a horrible situation to be wrapped up in. So regardless, you hope that Aaron Beasley turns out to be better for all of this, regardless of what might have happened. You move on to another defensive question here from Brandon. There's been a lot of talk about our defense getting winded and not being able to keep up with the offensive scoring pace. Do you think Heupel's offense will be able to score faster than a Pruitt three and out? Did Pruitt do us a favor last year by keeping the defense on the field for conditioning? Well, I mean, maybe in terms of keeping the defense on the field for conditioning. Pruitt's philosophy was he wanted to protect his defense. And so the thought process there was long sustaining drives on offense, which I'm a fan of. That didn't work out a lot because Tennessee's offense has been just so bad, you know, when Jeremy Pruitt was here. Because of the philosophy is a big reason why I believe so. Can Pruitt's offense score quicker can Heupel's offense score quicker than a Pruitt three and out? The majority of the time I'm going to say no, because that again is, you're talking about a minute plus scoring drive. That's, you know, that is quick. Now, Heupel's done it before in the past. I wouldn't say that is a routine scoring drive by any stretch of the imagination, but we'll have to see. So good questions there, Brandon. We head on over to @WLWeb on Twitter. Very active tweeting me and our show accounts at The Sports Animal every day. Appreciate you listening, my man. Whereabouts are we on the investigation? Dude, I don't know. I mean, I'll have to check and poke around a little bit. I mean, last I heard, it's still conducting on the Tennessee side. They're pretty much done. I don't think they're interviewing anybody else, but I wouldn't say the investigation is completely done from last I heard. But this needs to be continuing to move in the direction of being done, because Don DePlowman originally didn't believe that there would be a resolution come football season, but you need some, you know, one way or the other. I think this needs to be done. Tennessee needs to get his punishment, whatever that may be, from the NCAA, so Josh Heupel can prepare, and obviously that's going to affect recruiting one way or the other, so we'll have to see. John wants to know about Greg Emerson, Malachi Wideman, two players last 2 weeks that have entered the transfer portal. A reason for concern. I think Malachi Wideman's a tremendous athlete. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's a super stud just in terms of being an athlete. We saw the videotapes of him dunking the basketball when he come on and signed with Tennessee. Greg Emerson's a guy that's appeared in 22 games. He's had 9 starts over his Tennessee career. But those are two of the names that we have heard for months and months and months about potentially hitting the portal for one reason or another. Just might not have been a good fit here with the new staff. Might not have been a good fit culturally. I don't know any specifics, but those two names are no shocks to me, if that makes sense, in terms of hitting the transfer portal. I think there are a few more on the team that obviously could hit the transfer portal as well before the season starts, but those two names have been here recent. So reason for concern, I wouldn't say concerning whatsoever. I just think that there's a specific expectations and culture here with this new staff and this team, and I think Greg Emerson and Malachi Wideman might have been left behind a little bit. So best of luck to them, and hopefully they can continue on their college careers and find success elsewhere. A couple more real quick. DaddyDab_VFL wants to know the strongest players in Tennessee football history. He tagged me in an article with Doug Furness, I believe. Doug Furness, and I'd never heard that name, but a really interesting article there about his squatting. And you know, Dave, you tweet me all the time, man. I know that you're 60 plus and you get after it. You got that grind in the morning, you go work out, then you have some breakfast, and you know a whole lot more about that role than I do. But immediately when I think of strongest, you know, Tennessee volunteer of all time, I think John Henderson's name just popped up in my mind, just in terms of all-around strength. And of course, he was a big guy, but that's a really good question to look into. But that was a really interesting article about Doug Furness and his path, and obviously his life ended a little shortly, and that's very unfortunate, but appreciate you tagging me in that article. Last thing up, Jason wants to know what's next for July. It's been a huge recruiting month for the month of June. What's coming up in July? Well, July, the coaches will take a little bit of a breather. They'll take their vacations with their family. The football team will take a little bit of a week off and then come back after the 4th. And kind of that week, whether I think it'd be, so the 4th is on Sunday. I think the football team will arrive back on Wednesday or Thursday, and they'll resume classes, they'll resume workouts, and they'll be primarily with the strength and conditioning staff. But the coaches will be in and out, of course, but this is the time where you take a little bit of a breath. The recruiting dead period, it's back until the 25th, I believe, of July. Then you have a week there until, and then it's closed down again before September. So that's kind of the layout there. The month of June, I cannot stress enough. That's why I didn't do a podcast on Monday morning. I was literally busy all day on Sunday doing recruiting stuff for Tennessee. That was the last recruiting day of this month. They held a camp. They had 11 official visitors on campus. They had tons more of unofficial visitors on campus. There was a barbecue function on Sunday night. Not only Tennessee, every team, you know, every Division I Power 5 team in the country has been getting after it in the month of June because you're trying to play catch up from the COVID year where you were locked down for 15 plus months. So July, take a little bit of a breather, but you're going to get ramped up and ready to roll 1st of August. The players, again, will still be here working out and going through team workouts and getting ready that way. But in terms of, it'll be a little bit more quiet in July before things get going again in the month of August. All right, guys, that was fun. Twitter Tuesday, been a minute. That's the biggest thing I miss about the 3-day week podcast. But again, if you guys ever have any questions, please shoot them in here to me at _Caner. Bet online, fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, man, all-star voting is here. The all-star game is just in a couple weeks away. I cannot even believe it. We're already about midway through the MLB baseball season. We are in the conference finals, the Eastern Conference finals, the Western Conference finals, storylines galore. You've got MMA action just about every single weekend. The Stanley Cup finals got going last night. You can get in on all that action at BetOnline from your laptop, your mobile device. You can find out about contest information, all the sporting news you need, and bonuses, again, at BetOnline.ag. I don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want you to use your sports knowledge, get in the game, put some coin in your pocket, especially through these deep playoff runs. How you do it? Well, you can head on over to the website or use that mobile device. Like I said, you can sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You put in $300, they'll give you $150. You put in $500, they'll give you $250. It's called a 50% welcome bonus, but it's on that first deposit when you use Locked On. Promo code Locked On. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, segment two of a Tuesday show here on Locked On Vols. What's up, everybody? Eric Kane, radio personality and writer for the Rival site covering Tennessee football and Tennessee football recruiting. Glad to have you guys on for a Tuesday edition. Again, I thank you for sending your questions for Twitter Tuesday. If you guys ever have questions, you can hit me up at Locked On Vols and at _Caner. All right, segment two, Tony Vitello. He joined Jimmy Himes, John Wilkerson on the Sports Animals Sports Talk. Here in Knoxville, my place of employment, the day job. And, of course, the questions are, you know, not if, but when. LSU went ahead and signed their coach. Other programs around the country went ahead and made sure that they got their coach. So it was a question, will Tony Vitello be Tennessee's coach next year for the longest time because of his increasing popularity and, of course, the success of Tennessee baseball here in the 2021 season? But now it's shifted to not if, but when will he sign that extension? When will he get that raise? When will we see the commitment to Lindsey Nelson Stadium? Well, just behind the curtain a little bit, I've been told that that extension is coming very quickly. I've been told that early this week it could be official. We'll have to see. But to my understanding, I believe that the nitty-gritty here is close to getting done. But Tony Vitello did join Sports Talk on Monday afternoon. He kind of gave an inkling and kind of said that, hey, a verbal agreement has been agreed upon. We're just kind of, again, working out those finer details. Here's Tony Vitello on whereabouts he is with his extension in Tennessee and how he has agreed to a verbal agreement.
There's been a verbal agreement to some things. There's a lot going on with what we're trying to do with the facility. And I can tell you there's been constant communication from the administration, which is nice. And there's also been a lot of kicking the can down the road a little bit, if that makes sense. I really did not want to have any distractions for our players or our staff throughout the year. So some things are inevitably going to come up and they have to be addressed. But the healthiest thing for anyone involved with Ball Nation was for some things to get moved on down the road, which means maybe things happen a little later than you expect, what have you. But there's progress being made every day. And again, we're a pretty tight-knit group on this campus. And if anything, our little love affair we have with each other in the office, which you wouldn't know it every day, but we have one, has become one now with the fans. I mean, it's not corny, and I'm not trying to sell season tickets. It's a long way away. But it kind of became something where we feel like our fan base came out in quantity and then just the rowdiness. Like, some of these – I'm around these coaches. I'm at a field. There's a bunch of coaches, and I don't want to say it, but there's other big schools where they're saying, that was the loudest I've ever heard a stadium when Fergie hits the home run or, you know, just things like that. And it was pretty cool what happened, and I think it can get even better.
So if you're a Tennessee fan, if you're a new Tennessee baseball fan, regardless, if you support the University of Tennessee, that is good to hear in terms of Tony Vitello, loyalty, wanting to be here. And it looks like that extension is very, very close to being signed. Where will this put Tony Vitello in terms of being one of the highest paid coaches in the country? I believe it's going to be over a million, probably at least 1.2. We've heard rumors maybe about being 1.6. Even I've seen something about maybe north of one mil, maybe close to 2 mil. We'll have to see. Now, I'm a huge Tony Vitello fan. This season's been fun. Tennessee made it back to Omaha, first time in 16 years. Been fantastic. I think a 2 million might be a stretch. But again, you want to ensure that no one's coming knocking on that door next year or in 2 years. So we'll have to see. But nonetheless, Tony Vitello deserves what he's about to get in terms of a raise, in terms of the commitment to the program that's been neglected for much of the last 10 years over previous administrations. So obviously, we'll have to keep tabs on that when that extension will be finalized. But I do believe it's going to be very, very, very much sooner rather than later, talking about this week. Move on now, Ross Kivett. I teased it there in segment number one. Ross Kivett, he is, for the past 4 years, been the volunteer assistant for Tony Vitello and the Tennessee baseball team. If we remember about how the NCAA does some things and, you know, just fantastic work, Mark Emmert, the NCAA, we know just we can make a mountain of list of just things that they're wrong about. Well, one of the biggest things is in softball, I believe in softball, but baseball for sure, you only have three paid assistants, or you only have two paid assistants, okay? You need a third paid assistant. That third assistant is a volunteer coach. And how you make your money is by camping in the offseason. You host camps, you organize camps, and pretty much the majority of those proceeds will go to that volunteer coach so that they can obviously make a living. It's ridiculous. It's criminal. But we're still here. We are still here in 2021. It's ridiculous. So Ross Kivett took a job at Houston to be a paid assistant. So congratulations to him. Much very well deserved. But a huge reason for the success that Tony Vitello has had in rebuilding this program and putting it up into an Omaha stature where it is today is because of guys like Ross Kivett. We know Ross Kivett. If you didn't know Ross Kivett before, you certainly know him now if you're a Tennessee baseball fan or have been keeping up with this team, especially in Omaha. Because Ross Kivett was the coach that went ballistic, was ejected, went onto the field, and had a parting word for you, and you, and you, and you. I'm pointing to the imaginary umpires in my home studio right now. If you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. Wanted to bring Ross Kivett on my Saturday morning program on The Sports Animal. This was news broke that he had accepted the job on Friday. Obviously wanted to talk to him regardless, but especially wanted to get him in before he went ahead and start the move and getting settled in with his new job. And so talk to him about a number of things, but ask him before we got done about the ejection from his point of view, what happened. And here is Ross Kivett on exactly what he saw.
I had probably been a little lippy with Jeff, the home plate umpire, for a couple innings, Frank and I, and we got warned when we were on offense, which is like one of the weirdest things I've seen. It's usually when your pitcher's pitching is when you argue balls and strikes. And I've had some history with a third base umpire. I played in the Big 12, and I don't think he was a real fan there. And he actually threw out my college roommate during our championship year when we were at Kansas University in a pretty big series, who was our starting catcher. So there is a little bit of history, and I was mad that Sean Hundley walked the leadoff guy after we just tied the game 4-4. And I told Sean that. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, it happens. But if I was going to argue any of the calls, it wouldn't be the last one that was clearly a ball. It would have been the two before that were clearly strikes.
Yeah.
So I hit the rail and, you know, said something about walking the leadoff guy. And I have no idea why the third base umpire was looking into the dugout instead of watching the game. But he obviously was. And he, you know, practiced this 40-yard dash to throw me out. So
have you ever seen somebody do
that? No, that's first time ever, especially in Omaha. So
same here.
I'm sure you got it talking to, just like I got it talking to, but I'm not going to let myself or this team or Coach Vitello or the players that are playing, because that's who it's about. It's not about me or the umpire, you know, punk us. And that's kind of was the attitude the whole year. So I went out there and got my money's worth.
And he's exactly right. That's kind of the mantra. That's kind of the theme that the Tennessee baseball team is kind of carried throughout the season. It's don't punk me, let me punk you. You know, we're going to sit together, we're a band of brothers, and you know that we're going to worry about us. And we don't care about you. And so, great stuff there from Ross Kivett. I do appreciate him joining me on my Saturday morning show with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal. And best of luck to Kivett and his wife, his fiance, I believe, wife maybe, I don't know. Apologies there, but nonetheless, the beautiful woman in his life as they embark on this new journey. So that's some good stuff there. All right, segment three of a Tuesday show. I want to break down what happened in Omaha over the weekend. Tennessee's gone, but boy, the news didn't stop there. NC State sent home because of a cluster of COVID-19 positive tests. Right, wrong, indifferent, we're going to have a conversation about how COVID is still very much in the world of college athletics. How can this affect the fall and football season? I think I've got your eyes perked up there. Your ears are dialed into the earbuds here to your car studio. You're going to want to listen to this because we need to be honest with ourselves about how it's been fantastic. I'm so proud of where we are right now. But sadly, as this weekend proved to us, we are still not out of the woods in terms of what could be. So a conversation about COVID and sports coming up in segment number three here of a Locked On Vols Tuesday edition. But first, guys, let me tell you about something that is not annoying or stupid or just horrible for you like COVID is. But Built Bar is completely opposite. It tastes good. You love it. It's for that health-conscious guy or gal. 9 delicious flavors, tons of variety there. You can order the variety pack where you get 2 boxes of each of your favorite Built Bars. You can try it on out. You get two Built Bars in a box of all these different 9 flavors. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Know what your favorite is. You can figure it out that way by ordering that mix box. Most of these protein bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. You've got something for everybody. And again, it's for that 2 o'clock pick-me-up feeling. Whenever you wake up early in the morning, need something to tide you over until breakfast later on in the morning, whatever the case may be, Built Bar is the answer. Father's Day's in the rearview mirror. Mother's Day was a couple months ago, but it's never too late to give the people you love, whether it be your mother, your father, your spouse, some of your friends, a box of Built Bar because it's good for them, and it's a protein bar, but it looks and tastes like a candy bar because 100% chocolate. Right now, I want you to go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll receive 15% off your first order. That's at BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15, where you'll receive 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. It's all. Check it out at BuiltBar.com. It's been real fun to get back in the saddle this week here with Locked On Vols. Again, episodes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, both this week and next week. Again, next week due to July 4th holiday, and this week, well, just because I was busy on Sunday. So we've had Twitter Tuesday conversations. We've had Tony Vitello and baseball conversations in segment number 2. And now in segment number 3 here, Eric Kane, your host of Locked On Vols, I want to talk about what happened at the College World Series over the weekend. Yes, Tennessee's already been eliminated. Tennessee went 0-2 in the College World Series. An impeccable season, disappointing finish, but what a remarkable year it was. So Tennessee's already been gone, but if you've been following along, maybe you got dialed into college baseball, and even when Tennessee was put out, you're still following what's happening now in the finals round of the College World Series. But over the weekend, you were in the bracket finals, okay? On one side, you had Vanderbilt and NC State. On the other side, you had Texas and Mississippi State. Tennessee was in that other bracket with Texas and Mississippi State. NC State was 2-0, all right, and ready to roll and just needed one more win to advance on to the College World Series Finals. Vanderbilt needed to beat NC State twice. Friday, an hour before first pitch, or maybe even sooner than that, you saw some players start leaving the dugout. You saw pitchers, who the starting pitchers in the game, they began leaving the bullpens, and we're saying, what's going on here? Well, word got out that a positive COVID test had surfaced a part of the NC State program. And because of that, long story short, on Friday, of the 28 players on roster for NC State, only 13 were available to play. You had a starting pitcher playing first base. You had a first baseman playing third base. You had a third baseman playing shortstop. You had a left fielder playing center field. You had a brand new starting second baseman. You had a middle reliever starting on the mound. It was actually a really, really good game. Vanderbilt threw its ace in Kumar Rocker and only won 3-1 on Friday night. So, point remains, they were given the option, do you want to forfeit this game and wait to hopefully get players back for Saturday, or do you want to go ahead and play the game? NC State's like, well, give us a chance. And so they got that chance and they ended up losing on Friday night. But, you know, regardless of what happened there, that's one side of the story. You had an opportunity on Saturday to win a game and continue on. It was win or go home, an elimination game. At 2 a.m. Saturday morning, the NCAA comes out and says more positive tests have been confirmed from NC State. NC State must go home. It's awful. I'm gutted. I'm heartbroken for those seniors, those coaches, those support staffers, the fans, the parents, the community, the program. I mean, this is what you work for, okay? The College World Series. You are literally a win away from going to the College World Series finals. You made it through the regular season, the conference schedule, the conference tournament, the regional play, the super regionals, and you were sitting pretty 2-0 in the College World Series. And this happens. It's gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking, and I can't stand it for what has happened. But here's what we need to do here. We need to talk about how COVID is still a part of, or still can affect, sports. We got sports back, and for the most part, it's been amazing. It's been so thankful. For the most part, teams are vaccinated for the most part. And when you are vaccinated, per NCAA rules and per SEC rules, you're not getting tested. Or if you've already had COVID, like last football season, if you already had COVID, you weren't being tested. So the only time you're getting tested is if someone, tests positive and you're unvaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, you continue to get tested. You know, right, wrong, indifferent, it's your decision. It's every individual person's decision whether you want to be vaccinated or not. I'm vaccinated, but I wholeheartedly believe it comes to every single person's decision whether you want to be vaccinated or not. Just like politics, just like religion. I support you. I don't care. That's not my business, okay? Everyone has their right to make it a choice about how they want to live their lives, okay? But if you're going to be unvaccinated, you're going to have to go through this testing. And just like NC State, one positive, test popped up, then quarantine, contact tracing, all that stuff, boom. NC State's season is over. It's heartbreaking. So what I believe is you're still going to have a competitive advantage. It's not going to rear its head much, but on the game's biggest stage in Omaha, it did. If your team is pretty much vaccinated, all the way vaccinated, or 90% vaccinated, for the most part, you're going to have a competitive advantage over the field because you're not going to be tested. Again, the NCAA is not coming out saying if you're not vaccinated, you can't play. Everyone can play. But if you're unvaccinated, you're going to have to go through daily testing. Just like in the NFL right now, the NFL is not coming out and saying if you're unvaccinated, you can't play, but vaccinated players are pretty much wide open. If you're unvaccinated, you have a laundry list of rules to where you have to have your mask on in the training room. You cannot go out and see a family on away trips. You gotta sit here instead of here. I mean, it's making life difficult for the unvaccinated individuals, I'll say that, but no one's ever coming out, NCAA or pros, and saying if you're unvaccinated, you can't play. It's unfortunate. Looks like I said earlier in the show, I'm always getting to pile on Mark Emmert and the NCAA because it's my favorite phrase from last week, a clown show in a sense. But the NCAA didn't come out and just say, "Oh, NC State, we're gonna get you, we're gonna get you." These protocols, they've been in place all season long, and so I'm not happily supporting NC State going home. I mean, it breaks my heart. I hate it. I think it's completely tone deaf that the NCAA did that, yet they're still bragging about and putting out on social media the next day or later on Saturday that 22,000 people packed the stadiums at that field later on in the game. Let me try this again. That the NCAA bragged about putting out a graphic bragging about attendance for the late game on Saturday about how 22,000 fans packed that stadium, unvaccinated, going on the honor system. I think it's tone deaf. I think it's completely ridiculous. But yet you're going to send home a team of young college-age individuals who run the slightest risk in the world. Not saying it's 100% ineffective if they get COVID and they're going to suffer, because there have been a couple of cases here and there. But you look at the numbers, and if you're in college and you're active and you're young, you almost run a greater risk of getting in a car wreck or a plane crash or something like that. Point being, I'm not diving deep into that. My point is, protocols are still going to be set place in football season, okay? I don't know who's vaccinated on the Tennessee football team. It's not my business to know. But I do believe every coach in America, every football coach in America, after seeing what happened to NC State over the weekend, is sitting down Monday morning saying, "Hey, guys, if you want to get vaccinated, here's how you do it. Here's the resources. Here's the pros and the cons. It's your individual decision, but here, if you want to get vaccinated, come to us and we'll help you. I don't want to say that they're encouraging it because, again, it's everybody's individual decision, but coaches are probably wanting their players to be vaccinated because, again, not being tested. It's unfortunate. It's something that is going to be with us until, you know, COVID is just like the everyday flu. At some point, I believe you will be seeing athletes compete with cases of COVID, just like some athletes compete with the case of a flu or a fever or strep throat or whatever the case may be. But we're not there yet. COVID is an ugly disease. It's taken the lives of far, far too many. It's very, very sad. I hate it. In the other sense, we were locked down for a long period of time where I don't believe we should have been locked down for. But the point remains, COVID is still around, and it can still affect the playing field. Whether you're right, you're left, you're blue, you're red, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. If you're a sports fan, just realize that the protocols are still being put into place, and what happened to NC State, sadly, could affect any football team come fall. And you just hope and pray that doesn't happen. So that's kind of my spill on the College World Series. I could go more in depth than that, and if you guys want me to, I'll do it again on the podcast later this week. But it's very, very unfortunate. Could you just imagine? I know a lot of you guys are just burning up for some Tennessee baseball talk over this run, and that's why I brought it to you. Could you imagine if that happened to Tennessee? I mean, there would literally be another riot. There would literally be another protest. There would literally be just crazy stuff happening on Cumberland Avenue, burning mattresses, okay? We'd see some wild stuff here in Knoxville if that happened because as a community, as a fan base, we are so passionate. That's one of the greatest things about this fan base. But, man, I hate what happened to NC State. Nonetheless, Vanderbilt moves on and squares off against Mississippi State in the College World Series Finals. That is ongoing this week. Guys, it's been a fun show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, want more on this podcast, you know where to find me. DMs are open at _Kaner at Locked On Vols. We're done here with Locked On Vols. Now, let's check out the Locked On Today podcast. The LA Clippers, they're back in the game. You can get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I appreciate it. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday this week and next week is when we'll have episodes of Locked On Vols. Until tomorrow, guys, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.